Thank you for joining us for First United Methodist Church of North Hollywood's weekly podcast.
Good morning. Today's reading is from Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 39. Jesus said unto him, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto you, it thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself."
Good morning. Let's see here. Did everyone get a pom-pom? It's a very serious question. Make sure you have one. Jeff called on you. I'll be calling on you soon. I want to welcome you again to Laity Sunday this morning. We are celebrating the mission and ministry of this congregation today. So today, this is our worship service. This is all for you out here, up here, over here. This is our wonderful celebration of what we do here. And John Kent had mentioned to look inside of your bulletins at the insert. And we did forget names, and I apologize, it was not intentional, but already I want to add the ushers on there. I did not squeeze them in. And those are Phil and Ann Roche, Anita McChesney, Doug Ebach, Lisa Chibi, Muffet Brinkman, Sean Viatin, Francis Niafor, Scott Pete, Chuck Schaefer, and Mike Gillis. And if I forgot you, yell out your name right now if you're here, because it is not on purpose. It's a lot of names to squeeze in my little brain. Thank you so much. So this morning, we are celebrating Disciples in Action, Living Vital Worship, and worship as a verb, as an action, and loving God and loving people. Now, you might be wondering why on earth the pom-poms, and when I came up to give the choir their pom-poms this morning, it was pretty quiet, like, "What are you doing, Patty?" It's like crickets. And when I was preparing for the sermon, I literally was praying a lot about it because it's very nerve-wracking to get up here. And all I could hear was God say, "Go with what you know, Patty. Go with what you know." And I know cheerleading. I was a cheerleader, believe it or not, in high school, varsity cheer my entire existence in high school. And after I graduated, one of my favorite teachers, she actually called me up while I started college and said, "Can you be my assistant advisor?" So I worked and performed and did cheerleading for 10 years of my life through college and everything. I coached, I advised, I did choreography, mascots, song leaders, the whole shebang. So I know pep rallies, and that's what we're going to have today. We are going to have a pep rally for all of your good works. So cheerleading, why cheerleading? It kind of gets a bad rap, but I want you to know it taught me important life skills that have helped me to this day. I've learned how to be a leader and to lead also by being a good follower, by being a good team player. I learned not to be shy, and I really need that up here because, believe it or not, I'm shaking, but you're supposed to keep going, even when you're shaking. I learned to plan events. I learned to facilitate the success of others. We worked hard, we kept an optimistic attitude, and we always tried to encourage each other, all of our teammates, to do the same. And the same principles actually apply outside of cheerleading. We would always consider our actions and how they would reflect our team. And as ambassadors for our school, every decision that we made counted. So cheerleading routines, they require stunts and pyramids. And I was always a base. I was never the one on the top that you saw, the flyer, ever. But the bases and spotters were just as important as the flyers. And we had this rule to never, ever, ever let anybody hit the ground. We had to be there to catch people so they wouldn't fall. You're an active flyer. And if you didn't pay attention, if you didn't show up, the stunt wouldn't build. It wouldn't go up. Nothing would happen. Or someone would be injured and crumble to the ground. So we can apply everything that I just told you about cheerleading to the laity, to our church, our team, and that is why you have pom-poms. And we are ambassadors of this church, and our team is our community in the body of Christ. And this pep rally is to cheer on the laity. So, Norman and I'm going to give you some really recent inspiration. We became, because of Norman, season ticket holders for the Los Angeles Rams. Thank you very much. And we've been to the Coliseum 3 times to cheer on and root on the Rams. And one of the cheers that is nonstop in there throughout the entire game is, whose house? And everybody cheers back, Rams house, for 3 hours, 4 hours. So if I say whose house now, it's God's house. Whose house? God's house. And that's all I could think of, God's house. We're on the same team, working together towards one purpose. So what is our big purpose? To put it in a nutshell, our mission as a church and a mission as a church universal is to be part of the enfolding of humanity into the love of God in Christ, and to live that love right here, right now, with all that we have and all that we are. There are two parts, a commission and a commandment. So here's the commandment. Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. That is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is the same. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. Loving God and loving people is what happens when we apply and live out God's word. Loving your neighbor is rooted in wanting to see them succeed. That's cheerleading. It's the nature of our mission work, helping people. We do that. When we do that, we understand why Jesus said that loving God and loving others is so hugely important. It has to be. So here we go with our pep rally. Put your pom-pom in your really good hand and your good arm. It doesn't count if you go like this. Yay. It doesn't count if you go like this. I think I kind of need this. And if you're worried about your arms, ladies, just hold it tight. Flex, flex. Okay? So I'm going to shout out a mission project or a ministry. And if you were ever involved in any way, shake your pom-pom and cheer. So it's not just, yeah, you're going to yell. I'm not going to yell too loud because I've got this mic right here. But I want you to really cheer. So I don't know if the kids are here. We need some kids to help us scream. But don't be shy, as Jeff said earlier. Don't be nervous. We're all on the same team. We want the best for each other. No one's going to make fun of you. So if you have helped in any way with the care kits for the homeless, donations, prep days, assembly days, handing out a kit, you need to cheer and lift your pom-pom in the air really loud. This is so fun. Congratulations, because you have been responsible for making 1,180 kits. That's a lot of kits. Yeah, Liebeck. Liebeck's got it. The choir's got it. If you were a part of the Peanut Butter and Jelly Project in any way, donating supplies, money, time, handing out sandwiches, making jam, making bread, cheer, shout, and shake your pom-pom. Ooh, good one, good one. I want you to cheer for these guys. This is a smaller mission that we do. 8 volunteers every month get together, but they've made 4,950 sandwiches since 2014. Little ripples, people. We make a difference. We may be small, but we are mighty. We're going to keep it going. Discovery Arts. If you donated, decorated a box, organized a craft bag, assembled a box, shake your pom-pom. Yay! You all did. Come on, everybody. You did. 525 children in the hospital, ill, received one of those boxes. 525. This is a big deal, what we do. So now you've got the idea. Just cheer, cheer along, because we're going to talk about what we've done in this past year. Easter baskets. 885 went to the needy. Needy children were a little happier. Operation Gratitude, 350 volunteer hours as a group and individually. We also wrote hundreds of letters to the military, San Fernando Valley Rescue Mission. 1,900 people were fed with our monthly meal service program from 2008 to 2014. And do you remember when they had the fire? In one Sunday, all of you helped us collect $1,600 to help them rebuild. So let's give a cheer for that. Yay! Now, this next one is a tiny mission, but a mighty mission. Tabitha Circle, 25 years sewing baby blankets. I know the United Methodist, the Methodist women support them with buying the supplies, but let's give a cheer for them because in that time, they've made 1,800 baby blankets. And they keep going. This is not counting the covers. You do modesty covers now, right? So, I mean, this is not counting that. I think they're at 2,000 at this point. That's a lot. That's a lot of sewing. That's a lot of love. Redbird Mission, 9 years, $4,500, and enough box tops to get them a van. Yay! Wonderful. World Vision, emergency kits, bicycles, adopted children, Heifer Project, $9,280 raised. I know, Rachel, amazing. Imagine No Malaria. In the last 2 years, we raised $2,285. So if you donated to it or if you've ever been bit by a mosquito, give it a cheer and a little scratch. In an international justice mission, we did freedom walks, volunteer training, $1,000 in donations in the last 2 years. Yes, missionaries, Gary and Cindy Moon, they were just here this week. They have been in Thailand. We've been supporting them since 2010, and our congregation has given them $6,000 in support towards their orphanage in Thailand. Yay! Big Sunday, we did Heal the Bay and Tree People and the North Hollywood Interfaith Food Pantry. Thousands of our, I don't even know, I couldn't find out exactly when we started this, but it was decades and decades and decades ago. Thousands of hours trying to feed the hungry in our community. Now, UMCOR, we've donated towards relief supply kits, U.S. and international disaster response, global health and development, the Epworth Project, Hurricane Katrina rebuild. That's a big cheer. Yay! Oh, it's so pretty. Is somebody taking a picture of this from up here? Take a picture. Okay. The United Methodist Women. Ooh, okay. $600 raised yearly for Tabitha's baby blanket supplies, $3,000 per year for mission work for 120 worldwide mission projects, 97 national projects, $500 per year to CalPAC. They help the David and Margaret Home, Toberman Neighborhood Center, the United Methodist Hospital in Arcadia, the Neighborhood Center of Calexico, Susanna Wesley Community Center in Honolulu. Give the United Methodist Women a big cheer. Yay, they are amazing. Now the tree lot, if you bought a tree, if you told a friend or family or neighbor to buy a tree from us, if you volunteered, if you made a casserole, I need you to cheer for the tree lot, come on. Yay, 17 years, I couldn't get the total of how much we have raised. It started with Charlie Cox 17 years ago with Deanne sleeping in a camper in the parking lot so the trees wouldn't be stolen. And they did it because we needed to make our apportionments. So this is pretty amazing. And to quote the millennials, I mean, now if you need to understand what I mean means, it means that's amazing. I know, really quiet. Now, I've heard the concerns. I'm going to keep this positive, but I have heard the concerns regarding the tree lot, regarding getting people in the pews on Sunday. I understand your concerns and worries, but I want to remind all of us that we can't do anything successfully from a place of defeat or worry. As Christians, we are in a daily battle, it's very true, with the dark side that wants God's team to lose. When you think it can't be done, or it's going to fail, or you want to give up and throw in the towel, that is the dark side willing our demise. And I'm blessed to be the messenger right now, because I've been told to tell you, don't be discouraged. Discouragement doesn't propel us forward. We do not back away from challenges. Not this church. This is when we rally. This is when we step up. We can do anything together with Christ who loves us and gives us all these gifts and so much faith in our hearts. Galatians 6:9. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. I love that scripture. Our laity is so powerful. We are a group of like-minded people that have a strong desire towards mission work. That's why the mission team is called to lead these outreach ministry events here, because we want to be a part of a community serving God together. Look at what we have accomplished together. God is so good. You saw and heard these amazing things that we've done here. God is so good all the time. Thank you, Henry. Yeah. What we do here, it's called love. Love as a verb. It's an action word, and we've made it an action word. It's not just sentiment. It's not just warm, gushy feelings. Love is a decision that we've made here. It's a policy that we live by, and it directs our actions and our reactions. There are feelings associated with love, of course, but love is a decision, and it's not automatic. Jesus said that what matters most is that we love God without restraint, without any limits, all our hearts, all our soul, all our mind. That pleases God, that honors God, that puts a smile on God's face. And that is our first mission. To live that love right here, right now, and we are succeeding every day that we are here drawing breath. We do that, we aren't trying, we are doing it, we are action people. The best way to live love is to get involved. Get more involved than you already are. In our church community, you need to get involved. In our neighborhoods, in people's lives. This means focusing on others, not just on ourselves. And if we want to be a part of what God is doing in this community, we must individually and together as a church family make the decision to love, to be a people characterized and identified by love. This is the vital groundwork of the mission in the community, preparing the way for others to become God's people. Yes, thank you, Liebeck, for the support. The second mission is the commission. Matthew 28, Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." This is a topic that can make people uncomfortable here. I've heard that our church is not that type of church. That we are not the types to go out and get evangelical. That's not our thing. Well, I want you to look behind me at this beautiful stained glass. Beautiful. Alpha, Omega, Jesus reminding us Jesus is the beginning and the end. And this beautiful stained glass of Jesus pointing out, he's not just saying, go have a good brunch. This is the Great Commission. Right, Ken? Right. Matthew 28 that I just shared with you. And sorry, folks, it must be our thing. I don't believe that the saints of this church selected that particular stained glass just so we can stare at it and not feel this call and this reminder. It is our thing, whether we're comfortable with it or not. Jesus wants us to play an active part in enfolding humanity into the love of God in Christ. This is sweeter. Way to say evangelism, okay? It really is. God wants us to reach out to our neighbors in this community and share his love with them through us, through our light, through our good works. That means you and me together, not you on your own and me on my own. We do this together and reach out in ministry. We couldn't accomplish all that we have alone. No way. Even if it's a few of us, we do it with joy and we make big things happen here. Now, how do we know it's not a solitary thing that we do here? Matthew 18:20, whenever two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. 1 Peter 2:9-10, you are the chosen people. You are a kingdom of priests, God's holy nation, his very own possession. This is so you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, Now you are the people of God. We are meant to be together. We're meant to do life together, to work together for God's common purpose of touching lives and redeeming people and communities. This can be difficult. I understand, totally. Sometimes you just want to be alone. You want to keep to yourself. You don't want anyone to know your business, and you certainly don't want to know anybody else's business. That's why right after worship, you might sneak out and just leave, and you don't go to coffee fellowship. I get it. We've done it. But we are commissioned and called to share our lives. It's the whole enchilada here, people. The stained glass is reminding us it's not the a la carte menu. The unpleasant and the uncomfortable feelings that you may have with me saying this to you is God's way of really working through us and challenging us and making us better. So last week, Norman and I left the LA Coliseum, and I saw hundreds and hundreds of tailgaters all around. We're walking through, and I asked, you know, Norman, are the tailgaters outside of the stadium, like, do they have tickets? Like, do they go to the game, or are they just sitting out here in their campers and their trucks and just sitting on their lawn chairs listening to the radio and, you know, watching their TVs that they've hooked up outside of their truck? You know, is that what they just do, hun? Like, is this what happens? And he said, yeah, sometimes. You know, this is okay for them. Outside is enough. Is it really enough for you to just tailgate and spectate from the outside in life? What about getting inside with the crowd where it's exciting, you know, with the energy? How do we play a part in enfolding the community into the love of God if we don't even want to engage and open ourselves up to our own people? We need to offer ourselves to Christ's body, this team. We offer all of our gifts for the common good. When our church functions at our best, it is when we bring all of our gifts, our perspectives, our histories, and most importantly, our love to the table. It's unfortunate that being a Christian in this day and age really comes with a negative association because of a few rotten apples out there. We saw them at the Colosseum, strapped with signs and megaphones, beating Bibles and telling people how awful they are. Okay? But we can't be shy about sharing our love of Jesus with our friends, our neighbors, and our coworkers. We can't fear judgment or bullying. It would be silly not to tell people why we are here, to not tell them about the cool works of this ministry, why we go to church. It's all about Jesus. It's not about ourselves. We need to freely share our joy of how we've become closer to Jesus here at North Hollywood First United Methodist Church and invite others to come and feel God's love through doing projects together and singing in the choir and making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, studying the Bible together, hanging out together. We love others to Jesus by inviting them to join us at worship, inviting a neighbor to come to an assembly day that we're doing here one day for our projects, many projects that we do. And by telling a friend that maybe she really, really wants to sing but doesn't have an outlet, say, come sing with our choir. Come join us. That is precisely what the mission is of our church. This is a loving church with loving people. Even with all of our gripes and differences, I want you to know Norman and I would not have stayed here this long and be so involved if we didn't feel your love and your care and your welcome. We thank God for blessing us with this church and with all of you each and every day. God has given us a commandment to live lives of loving God and loving people, to lean on one another. God has given us a commission to enfold people into God's house that all might experience the transforming and redeeming work of Jesus. Pray with me if you will. God, you have made us a people, and you have given us a vision by giving us Jesus, who is the perfect example of what you mean when you say love God and love people. Teach us to follow you, Lord. Teach us to think much, much bigger than just about ourselves. Teach us to pour our lives into you and to pour our lives as you did into our community. In your perfect and holy name we pray. May it ever be so, and amen. And if you now will please stand, open your red hymnals to number 133. And we'll do Leaning on the Everlasting Arms.
First of all,
what?
On behalf of the congregation.
Oh.
On behalf of the
you
congregation.
You don't have to do that.
We. Oh, yes, we do.
No.
Oh, yes, we do. You have shown us demonstrable love during the entire time you've been here. And you are definitely the glue for this congregation and the laity.
I learned to be glue from all of you. Thank you. Now I need another tissue. Thank you. Okay, so please stand. Thank you very much. And we're going to sing our closing hymn. Yes? Okay. Here we go.